Dr. Stephen Leeb, 3 decades of investment experience at least. He focuses on growth stocks and commodities, former editor of Personal Finance, one of the most widely read financial newsletters, over 100,000 subscribers, author of an endless series of must-read books, including the one we're looking most forward to, his gold magnum opus. Welcome, Dr. Leeb.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I think it's become critical to China and the developing world to have a currency other than the dollar controlling the show. And one reason, incredible privilege that the U.S. still maintains, is that because of the dollar, we can sanction other countries. Because the dollar is basically how we invoice people. For wherever. If China's doing business with Malaysia, the chances are they're doing business in dollars. Any kind of trade takes place, most trade in the world takes place in dollars. The plurality of trade takes place in dollars. This is why we can sanction other countries. I mean, China can't sanction anybody. Japan or Europeans cannot sanction anybody else. Only the U.S. has the ability to sanction other people, people that do business with Iran. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to sanction those people. But the point is, if you're trying to run your own economy, you don't want somebody standing over you to issue sanctions if you do something wrong or something that they don't like. And that, to me, is such a powerful argument for gold, and I think we're getting there. I think China is coming very close. They started last year, about a year ago almost, they started trading oil in yuan. That has gone very well. Indications are that the Saudis and other Middle Eastern countries will start pricing oil, generally speaking, not just in Shanghai training pits, but overall in yuan, or at least yuan and dollars. That is a major step, Chris, because the reason that the U.S. got to where it is today in terms of having this powerful currency was when we went off the gold standard in 1971, Nixon made a deal with the Saudis to price oil in dollars. And oil was then, still is, by a long shot, the most important commodity in the world. As long as oil was priced and is priced in dollars, the United States is going to have a tremendous edge in keeping their currency as the reserve currency. Gold will always be a number two, and I don't know, number three will be maybe the euro, whatever. But, you know, in terms of actual transactions, it's the dollar first, the euro second. But gold is always there as a backup. China wants to, in my opinion, wants a basket of currencies with gold at the center, with everything coming back to gold. I mean, I know you'll like this. I think blockchain has a major role to play in what the eventual monetary system will look like. But gold has the critical role to play for so many reasons. It would, you know, drive everybody nuts if I started, you know, going on about it. But I think for that reason, gold is going to be incredibly important. And it's one way of getting rid of, you know, the unilateral power that any country would have to issue sanctions. Two, it's going to be necessary, and this goes to all other commodities. We are, if the electrical vehicle revolution, you know, continues apace, we're going to run short of a lot of commodities. I mean, things like copper, it's hard to connect the dots. I mean, electric vehicles, solar energy, wind energy, all these require tremendous amounts of these base metals, copper, lead, zinc, et cetera. You know, I'll come down to a particular stock, which I think is very interesting to watch, Glencore, which is one of the largest commodity companies in the world. It's a very diversified commodity play. They trade oil, they mine copper, they mine zinc, they mine cobalt, et cetera. What they announced just maybe within the last 2 days is they are no longer going to spend money developing coal. They have stopped developing coal. Now, this is not because the guys at Glencore suddenly got clean energy religion. They did not. I mean, they couldn't care what they sell and market. I mean, they're kind of ruthless cowboys. But what they do see is that these base metals like copper, like zinc, I mean, these things that we sort of take for granted, you are going to need massive amounts of these metals, as well as massive amounts of oil, if you're ever going to transition from energy in the ground to energy from the sky. If you're going, you know, forgetting about, you know, the climate arguments, forgetting about all that, just in terms of scarcity. If you're going to, you know, go from non-renewables to renewables, you're going to need massive amounts of copper, massive amounts of zinc, and it's not clear that we're ever going to have that much. So that's where gold comes in again. Gold comes in because it is a rationing mechanism. Gold is this very, very special metal, which people prize, not because of its physical characteristics or its industrial characteristics, though it does have a lot of good industrial characteristics, that you can oxidize it, et cetera, et cetera. But they really prize it for its beauty. And they want to have it. And that, it's the ideal metal to use as a rationing mechanism. You know, who gets this amount of oil? Who gets this amount of copper? Who gets this amount of everything? And as you go forward in this century, over the next, probably not my lifetime, but over the next 10 or 20 years, I mean, this is going to be a world you're not going to recognize. I'm convinced gold, and again, coming back to your AI or, you know, blockchains, it's have it, certainly a major AI component, they are where it's going to be. But in order to get there, you're going to need as much and more of the basic commodities that this world is endowed with. You can call me long-term super bullish on commodities, and gold will, I think, be at the center of what will be, you know, just, you know, a complete 180-degree turn that our world is going to have to execute, and execute it fairly quickly. You know, I think in the end they agreed not to even pay it. I mean, it was a nothing kind of case. They took photographs of a robot. They admitted it, and they settled it. And that's all they've gotten on Huawei. I mean, that's not enough to do anything.
I started off with some wonderful engineers. They made some interesting findings. I took the ball and just by chance in 30 days stumbled onto written language, messages, audio, something like holograms. I have published the findings, APA format. I've submitted it to several agencies around the world, including NASA, SETI. I just wanted to share it with you because I feel like you're one of the few people who could really appreciate it. What they're trying to say is that it's a periton. This would be like a microwave stray signal that just happened to be in the area of the radio telescope at the time. There's only one problem. There are several voices on here that are not at all from the Earth. And there's at least six or seven different languages that look like ancient Zhao, ancient Qi, ancient Han, and ancient Zhou Chinese literature. So we've submitted something like 70 or 80 individual figures along with the files all around the globe.
Let me make a prediction.
Yes, sir.
If that's right, what you're saying, this will be go down as the discovery of the century.
Because, see, we have two engineers who found the noise.
Whose ever name is on this, this will go down as the discovery of the
century. Let me direct you to our webpage where we're putting up our findings. We've named it after Ganesha.
Do me a favor. Can you email me the website and I'll pass it on to others?
I went in and found 6 hours of keyboard music. Then I started to demodulate it. Then I started to get the voices. We've got holograms of wars, ancient wars. We have sagas. We have scrolls. All the original scripts that have ever come. Now get this. We had to decompress. It all came in a fast radio burst in just 2 seconds.
Chris, that would be the first thing that I would have predicted, because people just don't want to, they just can't relate to something that's that new.
If we had someone like Dr. Stephen Leeb, maybe these guys are onto something?
I'm too old. I just want to be able to help, and I will. I mean, like I said, let me have the name of the web. Just email me the website, and I will have people that really know what they're doing, that are academically respected. Look at this. I really will. The Jodie Foster movie and the reaction that this has received it's sort of like we are primitive people. One comment that I remember a good friend of mine saying one time, we were having some sort of philosophical discussion about something or other. He said, we don't realize how primitive we are. That has always stayed with me because we are primitive. I think that the significance, you know, transcends anything. Who knows? This could mark, a turning point. And I could say that it's going to be incredible. What you wrote me, you wrote me a little thing about a vertical wave, and it struck me immediately that that was something kind of special. And that was something that, you know, I was going to ask you about it anyway, that I would want to send around. It's incredibly impressive, yes. You know what's fascinating to me, Chris? I mean, we have similar kinds of interests. He basically didn't develop his stuff out of a university. He did it at home. Basically, he was out of the sort of orthodoxy of science. Another one is Julian Barber. Wrote a book in 1999 on time and basically argues that time is just an artifact. It's just a construct. There's no such thing as time. And it sounds so weird, but it's published. It was, you know, been incredibly well reviewed, you know, by people in academia. He doesn't teach. He's not allowed in academia. I mean, because it's considered heresy.
Doctor, this is like mithril silver. It is a magical scroll. After I viewed this, let me tell you what happened to me. It was like a hominid touching the obelisk in 2001. It was the error-correcting code in between the holograms. I just stumbled onto that, and I thought to myself, did they have a humanoid visitor? Is that what sparked this? So this is overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. It should be overwhelming to everybody. The reason that it so defies what we accept is orthodoxy, what we accept is, you know, science. It's an uphill battle to get it accepted. But it very well could be, like I said, the discovery of the century. But you're going to have to be prepared to, you know, kind of fight and kind of really demonstrate it. I mean, you know, we grow up thinking that if we find something so special that everybody will just immediately, you know, genuflect and drop to their knees, et cetera, and just say, oh my goodness, this is it. This is the answer. No. People don't want to be told that, you know, their way of looking at the world, their prism, their perspective, their paradigm is completely wrong. They don't want to be told that. So, you know, that's sort of one of the battles you have when you come up with something that is incredibly special.
I'm just going to go ahead and send you my paper. Keep in mind, it's just a concept paper. It's not dissertation level. It's only 53 pages.
Oh, no, that's fine. Give me your website address.
I'm talking to the engineers. I said, Chris, we don't have a means to encode in the society today anything close to this. They say, Chris, what are these voices? These are not human voices. I was such a skeptic for so long. I have still not told my better half, Jennifer. It's fast radio burst, decryption and demodulation, algorithmic process. So I got that submitted. I believe it has a profound impact. It's like some type of
hypnotic.
When you hear this and you see this, I haven't shown you anything. 3D holograms that run for hours, organ pieces and fugues.
Let me say, I would love to see this. I'm incredibly intrigued.
You got it.
And a lot of, you know, just like I said, if something like this is discovered, I don't think it's going to come out of academia, conventional thinking. Chris, thanks a million. It was a great pleasure, and I'm really happy about your family and everything.
The blockchain revolution is transforming the global arena, disrupting every industry in its path. Goldseek.com is excited to introduce an off-the-chain opportunity in digital gold and silver from our friends at Atmex and Sprott.com. OneGold holds physical gold and silver medals at the Royal Canadian Mint, the first online marketplace to offer secure and convenient buying, selling, and redemption of digital precious metals. OneGold uses VaultChain, a secure, immutable blockchain ledger developed by Tradewind Markets, the leading innovator in digital precious metals, distributed ledger, and blockchain technology. VaultChain. Gold and silver are 100% redeemable through OneGold for physical precious metals delivered to customers' doors in any size at competitive prices and low transaction storage costs. As a special offer and for a limited time only, OneGold is offering gold and silver at spot price with no additional premiums. OneGold.com is secure and accessible 24/7 on any device, offering convenient purchases and sales of precious metals. Easy recurring transactions make passive saving and gold dollar cost averaging as easy as a single mouse click. VaultChain offers the best tier pricing on AppMex products, setting the industry standard as a fully backed physical asset with easy redemption in coins, rounds, or bars, offering clients peace of mind and full transparency. Don't get left behind. Remember to bookmark OneGold.com for the safest and most convenient digital precious metals today. Remember, OneGold.
Goldseek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.